Welcome to Meet the People of MCB with Beverly Cascaden and Chip Haley, sponsored by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Hello and welcome, everyone, to another edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Beverly Cascaden.
How is your week going, Bev?
Oh my gosh, I'm thrown off the days with having Monday is Labor Day, and so yesterday was Sunday to me, so I had two Sundays this week.
That does happen. Sometimes when you have a day off like that, it does throw you off a little bit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What day is the garbage day?
Oh! Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Well, oh, boy, I sound boring, don't I?
You live an exciting life. That's right.
I do, don't I?
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a tremendous guest that we want to bring on. I tell you, Bev, got to know her a little bit here recently, and she's got some fascinating things that she's going to be sharing. Yeah, Belinda Turner, welcome to Meet the People of MCB.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, as we said before we started the recording, Belinda, let's talk a little bit about your vision loss. What was the cause, the result of your loss of vision?
Well, it occurred from two different things. I was born and inherited cataracts from my dad, and they were removed when I was 5 years old, but they were not on the front of my eye like most people. They were on the retina. So they removed the cataracts when I was five, and then I was fitted with these thick lens glasses. They were heavy as could be.
And so what was the actual cause of your vision loss?
It was the cataracts. That's what started it when I was born. I inherited them from my dad.
Right, yeah.
He had
yeah.
poor vision, and so I inherited them from my dad. But glaucoma follows poor vision. So after having cataracts for all those years, when I got about 21, then glaucoma set in, which follows poor vision, and it took the rest of my sight.
I got you. Okay. You're totally blind?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. So share with us a little bit about your family. Belinda, do you have siblings, children? Share with us a little bit about your family.
Well, I have a brother who is 3 years older than me, and I had a sister 2 years younger than me, but we lost her in 2019. She was 68 years old.
Okay. And you've never been married?
Yes, I've been married.
Okay.
But I don't have any children. I did not get married until I was about 39 years old.
Okay.
No.
Okay. All right. So also then talk to us a little bit about your education. I know as we get into this a little bit deeper, you've got quite a story to tell as we go along here, but let's just start off talking about your education.
Well, my education is basically grammar school. I went to a very small school in a small town in Marston, Missouri through the eighth grade. And then we were consolidated with Lilburn, Missouri, and I went to high school in Lilburn, Missouri, and graduated from high school in 1967 from Lilburn. And then after I lost my sight, or while I was losing it, I could still see shadows and stuff. I went to, I don't know if any of you have heard of the Vocational Rehabilitation Training Center in Little Rock, Arkansas. That was back then called Arkansas Enterprises for the Blind. I think now it's just called World Services for the Blind.
Yeah, I remember when it was called by that name. So, yeah. So then where did you attend college?
I did not go to college.
Oh, okay. So I know you told me at one time you did spend some time down in Arkansas. What was your time like down in Arkansas?
Well, in 75, I went to the vocational rehabilitation training. I was there for 10 months. I learned the basic stuff I knew. Independent living, I pretty much knew from just basically living at home and teaching myself. But I had never had Braille, so I learned grade 1 and grade 2 Braille and orientation and mobility. When I left, I told my mother and them, they might teach me mobility, but they're never going to make me walk downtown Little Rock. Well, never say never.
Yep.
That's right.
Well, people's words many times. So I did do the walking downtown Little Rock, and I did get my solo pin in mobility.
Gosh, okay, all right. So I'm going to turn it over to Bev here in just a quick second, but so what was your work history like? Share with us a little bit about when you actually started working. What kind of work did you do, and what are you doing now?
Well, after losing my sight and going to through the vocational rehabilitation training, I went back to Missouri, and I went to work for the state working in the Pemiscot County BSS office, which many years ago we used to call the County Welfare Office. I was their PBX switchboard operator. And I did that for almost 2 years, and then I thought, no, there really must be more to life than this. This $5 an hour job ain't going to get it. So I quit. But there were several reasons for leaving the job. I was 22 miles away from my job. There was no transportation in these small rural towns. My mother had to take me to work each day, or I rode with another lady. So it got to be tedious. And then I went home. But in Arkansas, there was a lady who Southwestern Bell had put to work who was blind. And she was the first person they ever hired, but she left her job in 78. So they're looking for a new person. Well, I applied for this job along with probably 300 or 400 other people in Arkansas. But in January of 1979, I got called and got hired to go to work for Southwestern Bell as a long distance operator. So I moved back to Little Rock. I became a long-distance operator for Southwestern Bell, which soon became AT&T in 1984, and I worked there until December of 1990. They switched to newer equipment and claimed that it could not be modified for the visually impaired person, so kind of left the both of us. She had come back and got her job back, and it kind of left us out of a job there, but then once again, you never say never, because when I left that job in Missouri, I said I'd never do it again. But I went to work as the PBX switchboard operator for North Pulaski Department of Human Services. And this was a job that really required that you learn how to talk fast and get rid of the people quick, because we handled well over 2,000 calls a day.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was busy, but then after I left there, it's another one of these $5 an hour jobs, but after I left there, and I thought, I need computer training or I'm never going to go anywhere, so I went back to World Services for the Blind, and I went into computer training, and as my training was ending, I heard that Southwest Airlines was opening a call center in Little Rock. So I told my husband at that time, I said, since you work out the airport, you go in there and get me an application and bring it to me. And he said, what makes you think you're going to work for Southwest Airlines? And I said, because I'm qualified, so I know I'm going to work for them. And I did.
Oh, good for you. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, Belinda, thank you so much for sharing that part of your life with us. I'm going to turn it over to Bev because I know she's got some questions for you as well.
All right.
Yes, and, you know, I'm going to backtrack a little bit when you talked about the cause of your blindness. You know, that's exactly, my ex-husband had congenital cataracts. And so all three of my daughters were born with them. And then three of the grandchildren out of five did. And Jack, he also has glaucoma. And at such a young age, they've done the surgery. Oh my goodness, the things they can do now with it. And I just, pray that it will stay this way, you know, with he does have to wear glasses, but boy, Belinda, can you imagine too if at your age, if you had been now as opposed to back then too, the difference, the advancements and everything with the eye surgeries. So, you know, we just deal with what we're given and make the best of it. So
that's all we can do.
Yes, and I've really enjoyed talking to you even prior to this with us just sharing some of the similarities too. So, but did your brothers or sister have also congenital cataracts?
No, they did not.
They didn't. Wow.
Neither one of them. I'm the only one that inherited it from my dad. And most of my dad's brother and sisters had the same kind of poor eyesight, except one, and I think she could see a flea 20 feet away.
And this is what, too, I love talking to you and your sayings and how you put things. So I think it's just such a joy that we've got you on this call tonight, today. So let's see, when we talked about, this is where I got mixed up. I thought she worked for Southwest Airlines. But so when you mentioned Southwestern Bell, okay, I must have been confused. They're both Southwest.
I did work for both of them. I worked for Southwestern Bell. I started there in February of 1979. And I was working as a long-distance operator. Of course, you know, they split the telephone company up and everything. And in 1984, the long-distance became AT&T. So that's where the Southwestern Bell came in. And then, of course, I went to work for Southwest Airlines.
Airlines, yeah.
And then,
wow.
Right. So, and, you know, it just, so both of them had the same name.
Yes, that's where I was getting confused tonight. So if you move on to something else, it's got to be something with Southwest in it.
That would really be kind of odd, wouldn't it?
It would. We got to find something just for you.
I even told my husband, we was coming home from work one day, he picked me up and he's come home. I said, Bobby, who would have thought it? I said, I went to work for Southwestern Bell in 1980, and I said, 1995, I went to work for Southwest Airlines. Who would have ever thought that?
And to be able to go back to what I always thought it was called, Lion's World, or there at Little Rock.
It was changed to that, but when I went in 1975, and of course that was my best days and the longest time I spent there, although I spent several times at Lion's World because I worked part-time there several times as the PBX switchboard operator, as well as being a trainee. But when I was there, when I first went, it was called Arkansas Enterprises for the Blind. And that's the first time I had, coming from a very small town like Marston, which population used to be about 800 people, and then to a city like Little Rock, and, you know, you're new there, and you walk out the doors, and your first thought is, my gosh, where did all of these people come from?
Yeah.
Because I've never been around a crowd that big or that many visually impaired people, so.
Yeah, but you talked about you graduated from public school, right? Yeah. And what was the size of your class?
Well, Lilburn, none of these towns are very big. In a rural area, they're not very big. Lilburn actually had two other towns consolidated. My senior class, when we graduated, didn't have but about 50 people in it.
Yeah. And some of the people you met there at Lion's World, Do you still stay in contact with them?
Well, yes, I do. A few that are still around. Yes, I do. So
yeah,
we talk some of them about every day. Some of them maybe once or twice a month.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Isn't that a great connection?
Yeah, my best friend, she was my Braille instructor, and we talked, we were longtime friends. We talked just about every day, but she passed away in 2021. So I still stay in contact with her husband and talk to him every once in a while. But, you know, just the other friends, the couple other friends that I knew from there, we talk every once in a while. But, you know, over the time, like there's a season for all things, you know, people and places you go and friends you make and everything, they come and go. So a lot of people you lose contact with because they move to different places, and others you lose because they pass away. And but you have good memories of all this.
Yes, yes. I bet you really should write a book of all the experiences in your life.
I wrote a book about all the experiences in my life. My book is called Life as I Remember It, and it talks about from the first things I can remember, my family, the friends, the good old days, the things we used to could do, and then growing up, all the people I come in contact with in my life, and the work, you know, moving to Little Rock, the people I was around. I mean, I don't have a photographic memory, but I don't have far from one. So.
Wow. And how many of us sit down to start to write, you know, memories of our lifetime? And then what I've done is then drop it for a while and go back a year or two later. But when I could still see, my girls were little, and so I would write about them, you know, in this journal. And, oh, they love getting that little book out and reading it. And, oh, I wish I could have continued on with that,
well,
you know, but we needed inspiration.
Yeah, there's many things that many people I've met, many things I've been through. I had a wonderful family, all the good things we did in what I call the good old days, and that was living through the 50s and early 60s. And just, you know, things that you dealt with in life and stuff. And several times I'd sit down and start to write this, but it just, the words wouldn't come to me. Well, during COVID, I sat down one day, and it just started flowing and pouring out of me. And as a friend said, that's when God intended for you to write it. And I just put it all down and in the book, all the dates. My niece said, how did you remember all the people's names? How did you remember all the dates? I don't know. That's just what I do.
So how long did it really take you to complete it?
I started in September of 2020, and I finished it the last day of March of 2021.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah, that's the last day I wrote it, is the 31st of March. And I would have had it published. I published it myself. I did it myself. I would have sent it to a publisher, but I didn't have any $4,000 or so to have a book published. So a friend of mine, I call him my computer guru, he said, why don't you get a LaserJet computer and print this book yourself? And he said, and then you go to Walmart, you buy a three-ring notebook binder, and you put your book in that. And I did, and I had a picture taken, and I put the picture on the front, the title of the book, and if anybody wants a copy, I print it up for them and sell it to them. So,
oh, wow.
Or I put it on, if they're legally blind, or I put it on a SD, I mean, not SD, a USB, a, you know, thumb drive.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, great. Great. And you're an inspiration. Maybe many others will sit down and write theirs. You know, I don't want anybody to think they have nothing to say. Everybody has something to say. And it's so important as a legacy to leave behind. I know my kids love to hear stories, you know, when I was younger, or my grandkids too.
Yes.
So we all need to do that.
I've sold over 30 copies so far. I'm willing.
Have
to
you?
I'm willing to sell more.
Well, yeah, we'll have to put that tag at the end of this interview, how to get hold of Belinda Turner and her book. So thank you for sharing that with us, Belinda. Chip, you want to jump in?
Yeah, Belinda, I want to kind of go back as well. As you were growing up, and I know at some point in time you realized that you're going to be a person with a visual impairment. And as you grew older, and you started facing certain challenges, attending public school, college, all those different kind of things, marriage. Were you able to, at some point in time, or did it come easy for you to accept your blindness because it started impacting you at a very young age? Or how were you able to deal with your vision loss?
Well, all through school, I had a hard time seeing that. I hated when the teacher put stuff on the blackboard because I could not see that. I always had to sit in the front of the class. My mother made sure she let the teachers know I could not see if I wasn't in the front of the class. They put things on the blackboard. Sometimes I had to get up and walk up there and read what was on the blackboard and then go back and, you know, write it down. So that was throughout my whole 12 years that I went to school. But as I said, I graduated in 67 and did not go to college. But, you know, there's a lot of small towns in a rural area. But when you go and apply for jobs, if y'all remember back then on a job application, one of the questions was, do you have any disabilities? If so, please list them. Well, you could almost bet that your application was probably going in file 13.
Yeah.
And I did not really get a job. I ended up being the babysitter for my brother's oldest son. I kept him for about 3 years. So, then they had another little boy. I kept him for about 9 months. And then they moved away. They moved to Cape Girardeau, so I didn't babysit him anymore. But my vision did not get any worse until about, I think it started in about the 70s. I'm going to say that we built a new home in 69 and we moved in it. But then I used to love to draw and read books. Matter of fact, I drew the house plans for the house we built. I took a piece of freezer paper and a ruler and put it on a 1/4-inch scale and drew out how they wanted this house. They went and looked at, built the changes and everything. And that's what they used to build the house off of. And I'd write or I would draw or I would read. And after I sit down, I started noticing after about 30 minutes, my eyes would start to blur. So, and they didn't used to do that. So I would tell my mother, Mama, my eyes is blurring. But I hate to say this, but it's the truth. My mother wasn't paying attention to what I was saying. She was too busy working. Oh, well, maybe your glasses need changing. Well, yeah, Mama, something obviously needs changing here, you know. But it just keep doing it, and then I keep telling it. But I knew something was happening, and I knew I was probably losing my sight because I stood right there in front of the telephone and taught myself all the letters that's on every one of the numbers on a telephone dial, and I did not know that in future jobs as being a long-distance operator and working at Southwest Airlines, how important those letters would become.
Yeah. Huh. Well, Belinda,
if you called and told me I want to call 1-800-HOLIDAY, well, okay, you had to know where the letter HOLIDAY was. So.
Good for you. I still go to A, B, C, D, E.
Right. Yeah, I do too.
No, I know. Go ahead, relationship.
Well, I was just going to ask you down in Little Rock, and you learned some different blindness skills that enabled you to be successful, independent. But
yes.
But at the same time, did you ever experience situations where, not that you actually wish that you weren't blind, but how were you able to deal with certain situations in your life as someone who was blind or vision impaired?
Oh, gosh, I'm not really sure which kind of situation. I mean, I guess I really don't know how to answer that, Chip.
I can throw this out there for you. You know, what about when it's 16 years old and it's time everybody else is getting driver's license?
Oh, yes. Well, I knew that I was never going to pass the driver's test. My biggest problem when I had the cataracts and stuff was distance. I could not judge. Mm-hmm. We were standing in my living room right here now, and you were across on the other side of the living room. I mm-hmm. would see you, and I would know who you were from the color of your hair or your stance or something, but I could not see your facial features. Mm. So that I was just barely above being legally blind when I was sighted. Mm-hmm. So, I just knew how to, I guess that's the only thing I knew all my life, so it's just what I dealt with. And then as I was losing it, it would gradually get down to where I could kind of see silhouettes and things. Like I'd walk in a room and you could see the shape of where, let's just say down at Enterprises for the Blind, I'd walk in the Braille room, I could see the silhouette of where the desks were sitting or something, or going down the hall, you could tell the walls from the floor, because at that time I could still see that. I could see sunlight, I could tell that lights were on in a room and stuff, but over years and time, they would gradually disappear. So,
mm-hmm.
And I just dealt with it. I mean, okay, this is what it is now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So at what point in time, Belinda, did you actually start getting involved more with the blind community, especially like with the Missouri Council of the Blind?
Well, actually, I went to I don't know why they called the Quasar chapter. I went to ACB meetings in Little Rock when I moved down there in 79. It was called the Quasar chapter, and it was there in Little Rock.
Mm.
I went with my friends Barbara and him. I went to the ACB meetings there when I didn't have to work after I got out of training. Because as a long-distance operator, you worked all kinds of hours, and Saturdays and Sundays and split shifts and afternoons and evenings, whatever were given at that time you worked. So I went to ACB meetings. As a matter of fact, I got an Outstanding Employee Award in 1980 from this ACB and out of Little Rock, the Quasar chapter.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Well, here goes again. And then in 1996, I was presented with an Outstanding Employee Award for working at Southwest Airlines.
Yes. Yeah. Congratulations. That's awesome.
So I have one from both Southwestern Bell and from Southwest Airlines. They're hanging in there on my wall.
Yeah.
So I went to ACB meetings there, but then after it got for so long a time that I had such hours, I wasn't able to attend them. I didn't any longer. And then when I was up here, I think what happened is they were giving a going away party to Jimmy Dale Reed in July of 2017. And my sister and her daughter were at this party. And, of course, they were trying to tell Jimmy Dale and them all the things I could do. Well, Wanda Matlock walked over there and gave Karen a card and said, "Here, we need her. Give her this card." So my sister brought it to me and read me her phone number and stuff. And so when she talked to me, she asked me to come to a Delta Area Blind meeting. And I went in July 2017. And I guess I've been going ever since.
Oh, good. Yeah, good. And I know you're currently the president of Delta Area Blind, and we're just so thrilled and happy that Delta Area has been reinstated as an affiliate of the Missouri Council of the Blind. And so we're just really pleased that you guys are now back with us. And but share with us a little bit what it's like for you as president of your local chapter.
Well, I've never done this, so it's kind of a, I told them, hey, y'all, I don't know any more than y'all do. I'm learning as well as you are, so just bear with me until I can get everything together here. And so I'm learned some things, and I'm just learning as I go along, and I'm reading different things. And then, of course, right now I'm doing the act. I've been secretary since 2020, and so we don't have our elections till October. And of course, a new member that joined in June, I wasn't going to pop up and ask her right then, hey, how about you being secretary? You know. So, you know, I'm just doing that now until we have our elections in October.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think she's already made a nod that she might be willing to do that. So that will help us out quite a bit. But I'm just learning as I go along and trying to take notes on what all I need to talk about and what we need to present. We've had a few bumps we had to get over, but we managed it. It took us, I mean, you know, last year we lost our vice president in September. We lost our president in October. So it kind of took us a little bit to figure out, okay, where are we going from here? We've only got 5 members at this meeting. We can't possibly have an election right now. So until we can get enough members together to try and start doing something, it in the holidays, you don't get much done, you know. So after that, we kind of started the year off working on it again.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, you know, Belinda, not only within your affiliate, but outside your affiliate, there's so many people that are right there ready to help. That's what I love about Missouri Council is we all just kind of come together and give ideas, share. We don't tell you exactly what you have to do, but suggestions, you know, that, you know, you might want to try this or so. I just am so impressed with Missouri Council with that kind of attitude that they have. Right. So we're here for you.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Okay, well, Chip's going to turn it over to me, right? Oh,
well, I did
am
have
I
one.
Wrong?
I had one last question before I was going to push it over to you. So, but Linda, I know that you've been involved now with Missouri Council of the Blind for a little bit. Is there any services and programs that you thoroughly enjoy as Belinda Turner? I know you've attended summer camp and those kind of things. What services and programs that really stand out in your mind that you thoroughly enjoy?
Well, I'll have to say I enjoyed summer camp. Well, I only went to summer camp once, but the weekend retreat I have been to 3 or 4 times. I enjoy it. Last year was my first year, even when I belonged to ACB in Little Rock, I was not able to attend a convention. So last year was my first time to go to a state convention. And I enjoyed it.
Yeah, good. All right, Beth, now I'll push it over to you.
All right. Let's talk about personal stuff. What are your hobbies, Belinda? What do you like to do outside of the work with Missouri Council and Delta?
Well, I read books, and I play I call it my computer, but it's a Braille Note Touch Plus. So I do all my stuff on that, and I watch TV when shows are on that I like, and I do a real good job of talking on the phone. I have
no Well, there's a talent.
Yes.
And I think you were well trained with Southwestern Bell.
Yes. Yeah, that and sales representative for Southwest Airlines, you learned how to talk a lot there too.
Yes. So you're just a natural with it. You know, it. We'll have to talk later about books, because I'm always looking for a new book suggestion of what to read. So we'll talk more about that too. But do you have a favorite author?
Oh my! Some of my I haven't found any books much lately by them. I found one, but I used to love to read all of the Sandra Brown and Nora Roberts books.
Oh yeah. Nora Roberts is one of my favorites, too. Mary Higgins Clark.
She has a new book out, Nora Roberts does, called Identity. So,
ooh.
Gosh, there's a lot. Janice Daly, just couldn't really tell you exactly all of them, but I like a lot of authors, so different things.
Mm-hmm.
I just usually... a book that sounds real good to me, and then download it and read it.
Yeah. Did you ever read them in Braille, any of your books?
Well, earlier, when you, that's all you could get them in. But since I was not born blind, and I'm, you know, not a congenitally blind person that had Braille all my life, you know, read that 200 words a minute or 300, they do. The fastest I read now, I haven't had a timing in a long time, but the last time was about 40 words a minute, and that's fast enough for me to comprehend what I'm reading. So
yeah,
I don't really.
Yeah, yeah.
I get a magazine each month that I do read in Braille, but mostly I read my books on a Victor reader. So.
Yeah, I do too. And I was telling Chip before we started the recording, my Victor reader, the power button, it's not pushing in anymore. And I'm about to panic at 2:30 this morning in the night. I was wide awake, so I wanted to get my Braille book out and read it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I couldn't get it turned on.
Oh, my. And it costs a lot to have them repaired.
Yes, it does.
Does it?
It does. Oh. They charge you like $100 bench fee. Yeah. Just to look at it.
Yep. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Unless it's under warranty. If it's still under warranty, but if you've had it for more than a year, yeah, you're looking at about $100 bench fee.
I've worn my buttons out, I guess, with it. So.
Yes, they're even more than that now. A friend had to have a something replaced in his. It was like $270 just to send it back in to him. So, you know, the equipment, it's wonderful, but it's just so costly for you to have anything done to any of the equipment that you have and that you need and you use.
And, you know, that's one thing with Missouri Council. We've got the great programs to help purchase these things.
Absolutely. I would have never got my Braille Notch Touch if I hadn't went through assistive technology, because we're talking about a piece of equipment that costs $5,795.
Yeah, it's crazy, but there's nothing for repairs. And then when you're faced, you're better off just purchasing a new one. Oh, that's sad for me, because I grew up where you fix things. You know, if it's fixable, you do that.
Yes, I understand, but I did too, but... Yeah, but we need this stuff, and it's just so expensive, the equipment. It's wonderful. It's wonderful equipment, but it's very expensive to repair it or to even buy it. So.
Yeah. Well, fall is upon us, and is there any special baking or... do you get in the kitchen and make pumpkin pie or any of that?
I don't like pumpkin pie, but I love I love sweet potato pie. I'm not a real pie person, but I love sweet potato pie. Since I've become president, I haven't done it too much, but they called me Susie Homemaker because whenever sitting, I would either take a cake or cookies or something, and I would make a cake or I would bake some cookies or something. As far as I don't cook like I used to, you know, it's hard to cook for one person.
Yes.
But I, every once in a while, I'll get a day in the week when I think, oh man, I want something different, so I'll cook something. Or when it gets close to Thanksgiving, I think, okay, I'll fix my own Thanksgiving dinner because I really like mine better than anybody else's.
Well, you need to invite some people over then.
All right. Well, just come on. Jackson, just come on.
If I come, I have to bring my family too, Belinda. How much room do you have?
Oh, well, we may have to put up a card table for all of them.
And that's usually where the kids had to sit, isn't it?
I was growing up, that's where we had to sit, yes.
Yep. Oh, okay. Chippa, I told you she's going to be fun to interview.
Yeah. Other than that, I just cook normal stuff. You know, I'll have to tell you something funny. Cooking reminds me of this. When I was married, my husband and I was standing in the kitchen one day in Little Rock, and I was fixing dinner. And he loves macaroni with stewed tomatoes, so I was making those, and I had put the tomatoes in there and stirred it up and everything. I walked across the room, picked up the lid, and walked back over there and dropped it back on the pan. He said, you know, you did that so naturally, you wouldn't even think you were blind. I looked at him and I said, I'm not really blind. I just don't see very well. Well, I kept laughing, you know.
Oh, we got to laugh, don't we? You know, that's a friend of mine that brought me home and pulled in my driveway and she said, oh, I forget that you're blind. And I said, well, hang around sometime and you'll see me run into a wall or something. Sure enough, I got out of the car and ran into the wall. She pulled up closer to the door than I thought we were. I thought we didn't stage that. That was an... But boy, we've got to laugh.
I've done that many times, but oh well. I'll
bet
you pick yourself up and keep going. Okay, I'll try not to do that again. But
yes. Yeah. So, do you have a humorous story that you want to share with us? Maybe something you wrote in your book, or that you could just think of that will get our listeners to have a big smile on their face.
I could tell you one about what my nephew did, and it's kind of humorous in a way, the way my mother ended it. When I was taking care of him, I could see, but I was in the process of losing my sight, and I could tell it. I was sitting on the carport, and my mother's car was parked not on the carport, but just off of the drive, you know, off of the concrete, and my sister-in-law's car was parked there too. Well, in between these two cars was a, what do you call it, wath iron pole, and the way our carport was built, and it was painted white. Well, I'd keep looking at that pole, and one minute I'd look at it and I'd see it, and the next minute I'd look at it and I didn't see it because it would blur. Billy was riding the tricycle on the carport, and my nickname they called me was Lenny. He'd say, Lenny, I'm going down the driveway. And I said, Billy, don't you dare go down that driveway. Okay. He'd ride around a little bit more, and he'd come back. He said, I'm going down the driveway. And he took off down it, and I jumped up to run after him. And when I did, I hit that pole full force.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, I hit it. I mean, I walked back to that chair, and I sat down, and he come back up on the carport. Lenny, are you all right? I said, I'm fine, but let me tell you one thing, little boy. You do that again, and I'll blister your butt real good. And my mother came to the door, and she said, is the pole still standing? I said, it is, but I'm not.
Yes. It was a blur.
it was a blur. And, of course, when I ran to go around it, I didn't move over quite, because I was sitting dead center in front of it. I didn't move over quite far enough, and I hit it right square on. So, and then when you think about it after it, you think, well, okay, that was really ridiculously funny, you know, but okay. Like that, but, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, like I said, we've got to laugh or else we'd probably go crazy.
Yeah, there's a lot of funny things that you do, but, you know, to try and remember all of them are, you know,
yes.
One, it'd be hard to do.
Yes. Well, I tell you, when I told you that my grandson also glaucoma and he'd had to have surgery a couple years ago when he was 6 or 7. And so he had a patch on the eye. They put the tubes in, you know, for the drainage. So the other eye was kind of patched too, because it was, he had them both patched. And my daughter said, well, he said, I know how Nana feels, you know. And so when he came here, he's, every time I'd get up, he'd come running over and take my hand and lead me to where I wanted to go.
Oh, yeah. Little kids like to do that. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. And it's so sweet. And he'd say, now, there's a step here. And even though I knew it, there was a step there, I'd get to the car and he'd say, okay, put your foot here, put your foot there. Okay. He wanted to put the seatbelt on for me. You know, he just wouldn't want to be that, because he had the sensitivity now of what it's like to have vision loss.
Well, I've had nieces and nephews, and then my niece's daughter, who, well, she's 15 now, but, you know, 8 or 10 years ago, we'd go to of course, Karen, my sister, would say, well, get a hold of Belinda's hand. Well, of course, that's the first thing, they'd want to lead you, you know. So, she did that a lot. But now, of course, teenagers, they're in their own world. So, but she if she's here, she'd help me, or she'll come and hug me and stuff. But yeah, they, little kids like to do that.
Yes, yes, yeah. So that's great. Well, it sounds like you've had some great experiences and very successful with what all you've had to go through too, Belinda. And I'm very proud to say you're my friend.
Well, thank you. I'm very proud to have you as my friend. All of you. So.
Aww.
I love people. So.
Me too. Me too. Oh, Chip, what a great interview this has been. I've really enjoyed talking to Belinda and sharing her knowledge with the members of MCB, and encourage other people, not even just members of MCB, out there to listen to our Meet the People.
Oh, you bet. Well, unfortunately, Belinda, we're completely out of time. I'd like just to be able to just to stay on here and get to know you a little bit better, because like I said at the very beginning, at the onset, you've got some really interesting, fascinating things to tell our listeners. So it's just been a real delight to have you here on Meet the People of MCB. So thank you again for being our special guest here today.
Thank you. You're welcome. I appreciate it.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you know somebody that you would like for Beverly and I to interview here on Meet the People of MCB, you can have them contact me, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or Beverly Cascaden at 636-561-6947.
You never know. You might hear yourself next time right here on Meet the People of MCB. Enjoy the rest of your week, everybody, and we'll catch you right back here next time. Bye-bye for now.